I have no beef with this guy whatsoever. I'm the Mulder to his Scully. It's Adam Scully, at Adam underscore Scully, co-host and producer of Golf Talk Canada, as well as Junior Hockey Magazine on TSN 1050 as well. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Wheels, I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And I didn't get your conversation off the start of the show about beers. What kind of beers were you talking about?
So I was discussing how you would celebrate a 100 day countdown to a World Cup of soccer. And what better way is having a different beer every day in the build up to the World Cup? Yeah. And then I remembered about this app that my buddy Lucas was telling me about. It's called Untappd. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, no.
So it's UNTAPPD. And so if you're going to a new brewery or a bar, you can go on and put your ratings and figure out what people are drinking in that place, like what the preferable highest rated beer is, courtesy of other beer drinkers. So you can get rid of that awkward conversation between you and a server that has no idea what they're talking about, right? But what it also does, it also counts the amount of different types of beers that you've drank. And my buddy was telling me that his brother is up to like 4,800 and something different types of beers that he has consumed. And I'm like, holy crap, that is a lot of beer. But then when you kind of roll it back and start thinking about it, you're like, well, there's light beers, there's dark beers, there's all different beers under the same brand, and they all qualify as different beers. Maybe it's not so crazy after all. How many beers how many different brands or different types of beers do you think you've drank in your life?
Oh boy, this is tough. I mean, as you were telling the story, I did go on Untappd and it looks pretty cool. So I will definitely be downloading that at the conclusion of this interview.
By the way, I have nothing to do with this app. By the way, I'm not getting royalties. It was just off the top of my head.
Yeah. How many beers have I I don't discriminate against any beers. I love IPAs. I mean, this time of year, I love a good Corona. Oh man, I have no idea, Wheels. I mean, I like my fair share of beers, but I don't know how I could give you an answer.
See, that was my only complaint about this app is like, there's like shame, and oh my God, I've had how many different types of beer? You know what I mean? But when you break it down, you could probably justify it, right? Totally. I don't know. It's quite the thing, tracking how many different, because you're sitting, you know, you go to your local brewery, you might try three or four different beers when you go in there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And they all count. So I think it adds up quick. Kind of like my golf game. It adds up quick.
Well, I was going to say too, I mean, like there's beers to have at a brewery. There's beers to have on a golf course, perhaps. Maybe at the turn. Maybe if the cart person goes by, you want to grab a couple beers. There's so many different kinds of beers you can have, especially while golfing too.
And you might switch it up. Like this is anyways. So that 4,800, whatever it like after or upon reflection, it doesn't seem so crazy after all. let's talk what's going, dude. I cannot get enough. And last time I was on air, we chatted about this. I cannot get enough of PGA versus LIV beef. Like, I am fully engaged. Forget the Tiger Woods era. Sign me up for this. Because potentially, I'd love you to be able to share potential actual beef between golfers about where they're playing is hilarious to me. Do you feel like there is actual beef going on between individual to individual in terms of golfers right now that's divided along a pro PGA versus open to live divide?
I think it really depends on who it is. So for like Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, there's definitely beef with a lot of the PGA Tour guys and them in particular. I mean, Mickelson, and now it's been reported through the suit earlier this week that, you know, he actually has been suspended and banned from the PGA Tour for trying to actively recruit players to LIV. And Bryson DeChambeau was allegedly doing the same thing early on in the regular season when he was a PGA Tour member. So for those guys, I would say for sure. But even a guy like Dustin Johnson, who has been pretty honest with the media, I mean, he's not one to really give that much personality or a long answer for that matter, but he basically said, yeah, he's going you know, for a new challenge, and it benefits his family a little more. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, a little more dough for DJ. And I mean, you look at some of the other guys like on the PGA Tour, like Justin Thomas has been pretty outward talking about his emotions. Rory McIlroy, the same thing. We saw that quote unquote beef yesterday, the Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Smith, where Scottie Scheffler walked through. It wasn't even Cameron Smith's line. Like, that is such golf non-drama that I was so overhyped and overplayed online. I found that pretty funny.
Is it? Actually. Yeah. So to our listeners, if they haven't seen it, perhaps you could explain it and then cut to the truth about what happened. I tried to articulate it, but I think you can do it better than me.
100%. So at first watching it, it looked like Scottie Scheffler just walked directly through Cameron Smith's line, his putting line on the green. Cameron Smith, let's say he's putting straight. Scottie Scheffler missed the putt. He just walked right through his line. That's what it looked like. But upon further review, you go upstairs to the video replay. Cameron Smith was actually, he was actually kneeling about, call it 6 to 8 feet behind his ball, reading his putt. And Scheffler missed a putt from another angle on the green and just happened to walk in front of Cameron Smith. So not in front of his ball, but in front of Cameron Smith. And Cameron Smith was kneeled over, knelt, so he couldn't actually, you know, see where he was looking for, I don't know, half a second or so. And Cameron Smith gave him a look up saying, you know, sort of, what are you doing? Which, it's golf etiquette, but he technically didn't do anything wrong per se, and like, there was, from what I saw, there wasn't any you know, any trash talk, any sort of thing like that. So I think this was so overplayed. Again, it's hard to describe on radio without actually having the video in front of you,
but the angle made it look like he walked right, you know, in Cam Smith's line, but that wasn't exactly the case. And Smith kind of reacted, that made it play into that, right? But it wasn't like an angry reaction. It was just like a kind of lift the head type reaction.
Confusion.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which could have been any. It could have been a bee flying around his face that he might have swallowed. It could have.
Possibly.
So, but so you don't. I think that these are two players that have had incredible years in Cam Smith and Scottie Scheffler. And two players that you'd hope would be competing against one another for the foreseeable future. But, you know, is there beef there? Like, despite whether he walked through his line or not, it seems like Cam Smith, he won the Open Championship, seems like he's going to become the latest pariah. And I'm just not sure how the player, like, we'll get into some other comments from players in a moment, but it seems like, you know, there is something rumbling beneath the surface here.
Totally. And in terms of pariah, I mean, you know, Cameron Smith, if indeed he does go to live, he would be arguably their biggest get in terms of talent right now golfing. He won the Players Championship earlier this year. He won the Century Tournament of Champions at 34 under par for four rounds, which is a PGA Tour record. Then, of course, he wins the historic 150th Open, you know, a month ago or so. He's second in the world. So that would be Liv's biggest get, per se. I mean, like, they have all these stars who were stars or are still very good players, like Dustin Johnson, like Brooks Koepka, like Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson's of those guys who are way past their prime and stuff like that. So if Cameron Smith were to go, that would really be a huge get for Liv. I mean, there were also rumors about Cameron Young potentially going. Those have, for the moment anyway, been shut down.
Get a monopoly on Camerons. That's maybe Cameron Piercy. Who else? Scotty Cameron.
Scott. Yeah. The putter.
Puffy. No, I'm talking about Puffy.
Oh.
Scott Cameron.
That's right.
You can just take every cab.
Yes, every Cameron. But, you know, if they were to get Cameron Young, like, that would be a huge get, too, in the sense that this guy very likely will win PGA Rookie of the Year. And for him to, if he were to jump ship, and again, if he were, that would be an absolutely huge get. But as of now, those reports are not true.
All right, Adam Scully joining us here on Gameplay. I'm Wheels at @Adam_Scully. I wanted to address these comments made. Did you see them by Billy Horschel?
I saw a number of comments from him, yes.
Yeah, about potentially players coming back. Him basically saying, I've had some players tell me I'll see you on tour again. And I said, no, you won't. Look, Billy Horschel, a good, not great player. Like what? A regular top 40 player on tour?
Yep.
Like, you know, decent. One, I'm not sure who made him the gatekeeper of who can return and who can't. That makes no sense to me. And two, if you're a golfer like Billy Horschel, isn't it good that some of your top competition could be moving on? Because, I don't know, you have a better chance to win and be better on the PGA Tour? It seems to me that a bigger pot of money, more money, no matter where it's coming from, available for all professional golfers, that is actually a good thing. So that's where I don't understand when the beef gets personal like that.
Totally. And Billy Horschel is an interesting case too, because he plays a lot of tournaments in Europe. So he loves to play around the world.
Really?
Yes, he does. Yeah. So he also plays a ton of tournaments in Europe. He loves playing the worldwide game, which some guys have chosen to. I mean, what a great way to make a living traveling around the world. So I guess he wants, you know, the best competition possible. I will say I was driving around this morning and I happened to listen to Davis Love, who is the President's Cup captain for the U.S. coming up in about 5 weeks, I guess, or so. He was on the No Laying Up podcast, and Chris Solomon has been on Overdrive probably five or six times, and it's about an hour long interview talking about, you know, the LIV and the PGA Tour and these players who think that, hey, or these players who basically were told by Greg Norman, yeah, you know, come play one tournament on LIV, you'll be fine, go back to the PGA Tour. And obviously that didn't happen. Davis Love specifically told a story about Hudson Swafford, who has gone over to LIV, but he said, oh yeah, DL3, I'll be fine, I'm just going to play one tournament, maybe two, I'll be playing in Hartford on the PGA Tour. No. So that's not the way it's happening. And I think a lot of these guys probably are regretting that decision, because, you know, they've lived all their lives trying to play on the PGA Tour. Of course, their bank accounts are significantly better. They have way more money, I should say. But, you know, there are all these reports too this week during that lawsuit, the hearing, that Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones were sitting in a car outside of the golf course in Memphis hoping to get on and play. So there's so much drama right now in the golf world.
I hope it was even a nice car.
Who knows? I would hope it had AC, because it looked pretty steamy there right now.
And at some point, there'll need to be some kind of resolution. Like, even Rory has gone on and talked about, like, you know, players not being able to have it both ways. But what it comes down to the fact is some of these, not everyone, but a couple of these PGA Tours that, you know, with players choosing to play LIV over the PGA Tour, that field thins out relatively quickly. It just does, just in terms of name recognition and who's popular. And that matters for sponsors. That matters for visibility. Like, you want your biggest and best names. I said this about LIV. They have all these golfers on their tour, no matter what their current form is like. But if you call them by just one name, you know who they are. Bryson, yeah. Dustin, like Phil, Sergio. You know who these guys are. You can't go down. If you say Cameron, for example, on the PG, which one? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that name recognition matters. So I think that both sides are going to have to give up something here. And we're still in the early days, and I don't expect it to be done right away, and there'll be more lawsuits, and there'll be more litigation. But at the end of the day, doesn't common sense need to prevail? Like, what is best for the game? Understanding this new tour, the risks that come, that are involved in participating in it.
Totally. And I think those risks are now being displayed more truthfully now, talking, you know, there are rumors about how these players are actually paid on LIV. Is it guaranteed money, or if they win X million dollars at whatever tournament, is that just taken away, or is that sort of modified that way? So there's still so many question marks around LIV. Of course, the PGA Tour has been, known upon about history and about trying to go win the 150th Open, or to go win, you know, the RBC Canadian Open, one of the, you know, most historic tournaments on the PGA Tour. But you look at LIV and, you know, basically these are 54 hole exhibitions where players are being paid an ungodly amount of money to go play golf. It's still so new to me and so weird to me that this actually has gotten off the ground. But now that so many players are going, this is the new reality. And like you mentioned, it's going to be a moving subject, and that we'll be tracking every week, of course.
All right, let's talk about the tournament this weekend, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. What's interesting about this, a lot of money on the line. It's one of the prestigious tournaments. We're in the FedEx Cup playoffs. You're looking at who has the chance or who's going to be in contention to win this week. But also, it's funny, like, watching players and their overall rankings. Like, Adam Scott made a double bogey on the back nine yesterday and went from, like, sitting, like, 57th to 79th on the FedEx Cup, you know, standings or list, and you need to be in the top 75 to move on to the next tournament. So there's a lot of moving parts here. So I'm turning to the expert, Adam Scully. What are you looking at? What stood out for you, and what should our listeners be paying attention to?
Yeah, totally. So for this first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, it's always interesting because a lot of the top guys haven't played since the Open Championship. So for example, Rory McIlroy, from a betting perspective, he was the outright betting favorite. Prices at around 10 to 1. And at this particular moment, he just hit a flop shot in his final hole where it looks like Rory could actually miss the cut, which isn't surprising because Rory was quoted earlier this week saying for 2 weeks he didn't touch a golf club, he didn't see the inside of a gym. So, I mean, you'll probably see some rust being played off from a lot of these top guys. But once we get into next week and then the week after, which is the top 30, where they could have went up to $18 million. Pretty good cash. I mean, for the guys, come on, you go over to LIV, you know, you get your $100 million, whatever. But hey, $18 million, that's not so bad too. So
thank you, FedEx.
Yes, thank you, FedEx, in a big way. So, I mean, there's so many storylines here. I mean, many of the top players in the world are obviously playing in this. Six Canadians made it to the playoffs, tying the all-time record high, which is a great number in itself for us here in Canada. So it's a very wide open field. I mean, like you meant, right now the leaderboard, I wouldn't say it's a who's who of golf superstardom, with Sepp Straka, Denny McCarthy, Brian Harman, Siwoo Kim, JJ Spahn. Adam Scott's the most probably notable name in the top 10, which is hard to believe. But I mean, once the weekend comes around, you'll see some of these notable superstars get into the mix. And then I think once next week comes around, where these players have a little more tournament reps after taking some time off, and then you'll see more of these top guys.
Interesting. Really in the mix. I'll tell you, one of those Canadians cost me some cash yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I had Justin Rose head-to-head with Adam Svensson, who went out and shot a minus -3 yesterday. Rose struggled, but Svensson did well.
Svensson had a great hole out too, which big flop shot yesterday on the 16th hole for Eagles. So, I mean, Adam Svensson's been a guy right around 90 in the FedEx Cup right now. Top 70 make it to next week. He is currently tied for 44th, and he is actually projected to be 90th. So, assuming he makes the weekend, he has one more hole left in his day. He really has to make it if he wants to play next week.
I love playing. My favorite way to bet golf is playing daily matchups. It's just, yes. And there's so many variables and there's so many swings during a round where you think you're home and clear and you're not. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to watch golf. Before I let you go, so who do you like this weekend? Is it someone that's lurking, someone up near the top of the leaderboard? Do you have a proverbial favorite heading into the rest of today, where the second half of the group has really just teed off over the last hour or so and heading into the weekend?
Yeah, totally. So a player I was very high on for Golf Talk Canada on our edge picks, our TSN edge picks this week, was Sam Burns. So right now, Sam Burns, he actually just teed off in the second round. He's played one hole. he's five shots off the lead. He was 30-1 pre-week. Now he is 10-1. So those odds have significantly shortened for Sam Burns. Second shortest odds of any player. I really like Sam Burns. Hard not to like Tony Finau right now, who suddenly learned how to win after winning back in 2016. He went 5 years without a victory. Then what does he do? Go back-to-back this year. He was seventh heading into the FedEx Cup playoff. He's currently the betting favorite at 7-1.
Wow.
So really like, but I really like Sam Burns as well, because he's played well on this golf course before. Lost in a playoff last year when this was a WGC at the FedEx St. Jude Invitational at TPC Southwind. So Sam Burns is my guy heading into the weekend.
I love Sammy Burns. Anytime I can get a Simpsons reference in, I was on Disney Plus, but seasons 6 to 8 are just absolute gold. And I feel like things sometimes come full circle. There's Mr. Burns. There's Bumblebee Man with Doug Ford today. I was making a joke about Qatar, you know, switching around their first game because they messed up in their scheduling, because they realized they had this extravagant opening ceremonies planned for the World Cup, but then realized all these fireworks would be lit off during the day and maybe that wouldn't work. Go figure. But I'm like, don't they have enough money in Qatar where, like Mr. Burns, they could just block out the sun for a couple hours? I feel like if there's anyone on the planet that could do that, it's probably the people of Qatar. Just block out the sun for just a couple hours. They have the cash to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You would think so, right? Come on.
Yeah, they can tap into Saudi Arabia and everyone else instead of a golf tour. Just block out the sun for a bit. Why not? So, Adam, thanks for this, man. Always great catching up. Have a great weekend, too. Okay,
keep up the
great work, and please say hi to Zucchino and Weeks for me, too. I miss those guys.
I certainly will, and I look forward to downloading this Untapped app right
yes.
now. No free ads, of course, but I will definitely be looking forward to tracking my IPA intake here.
See, again, I should be doing marketing for this app, not because of this, but if he's like, you know, tap that, untap, like tap it in, there's so much we can do with this.
Oh, I love it.
All right, pal, thanks for this.
Man.
Adam Scully joining us here on Gameplay. We went long in this thing, but it's worthwhile when it's a conversation like that.